couple of weeks ago on a Sunday afternoon, my wife Leslie was preparing dinner for a few of our grandchildren who were waiting on the pool deck. Four-year-old Charlie was in the kitchen with her, standing on a chair, lending a hand. Together, they made a turkey and cheese sandwich for Eli and Timothy, and then they assembled some turkey and cucumbers for Charlie. Then Leslie took a knife and sliced an apple into four quarters. She took three of those four pieces and cut the peel off and set that on the plates for the kids. And then the fourth piece, with the peel still on, she began to eat. Charlie noticed and asked her. He said, "Why don't you cut the peel off of your piece?" And she said, told him, "The peel's my favorite part. But most kids don't like the peel. That's why I cut it off of yours." He pondered what she said, and then he responded. He said, "Maybe I'll like it when I'm 48, or maybe when I'm 100. That's just a funny thing to say. He's just a funny guy. But those funny words, if we just lifted them out of context, are actually quite descriptive of the way that you and I tend to live. Here's what I mean. Life offers us a pleasant experience to enjoy, like an apple. Our tendency is to say to ourselves, "Not now. I'll enjoy that at a later date." I picture God driving a UPS truck, delivering gifts to your address, thoughtful gifts, interesting gifts, gifts designed to bring us pleasure. Gifts of all shapes and sizes, maybe like a lightning bug or a barbecue sandwich or a walk in a park or a bike ride or a conversation with an old friend. Gifts in boxes and bags of all varieties. I picture them piled up on our front porch, left unopened. That, I'm afraid, is our tendency. We say to ourselves, "I'll open them later. I'll enjoy them at some later date, maybe when I'm 48, or maybe when I'm 100. That is a bad way to live. In our passage today, Solomon calls you and me to enjoy life today. He urges us to happily enjoy God's good gifts now. Now, some of us might say, "Steve, I'd like to be happy today, but I can't. I've got too many problems, too many challenges, too many pressures today. I would like to, but I can't. Not now. Maybe later." You might say to yourself, "I'll enjoy life when I get out of debt, or when I get through this semester, or when I get over this rough patch at work, then I'll enjoy life." Or you might say, "I'll be happy when I lose 30 pounds. I'll be happy when I have children. Or I'll be happy when my little children are grown. Or I'll be happy when my grown children are gone. Be happier when I'm healthy. Or when I fall in love and get married. When I retire. Ah, that's when I'll enjoy life." Steve, you say, "I want to enjoy life, but I can't. Not now. Maybe when I'm 48, or maybe when I'm 100. Or perhaps you resist enjoying life for a much different reason. It's not because you can't. It's because you feel you shouldn't. Deep down inside, you feel that it's really not right for God's people to really enjoy this life. You say life is full of suffering, so many hurting people. You think to yourself, "What right do I have to be happy sleeping in a soft bed when there are people sleeping under a bridge?" You say now is the time to labor for the master, to relieve human suffering, to get the gospel out. Heaven, that's the time to be happy. Not now. You think, after all, any happiness we experience in this life That's to be found in God alone. If we experience true happiness in, let's say, sharing a burger and fries with a friend, then we're really putting God in second place. He's to be our only cause for joy, we think. The giver, not the gifts, should be what brings us happiness. You think deep down, it's not right for God's people to really enjoy this life. We shouldn't. For those reasons, we push back. We resist the idea, enjoy life today. Some say, I can't. Some say, we shouldn't. We need Solomon today because he says the opposite. He says, we can and we should. So turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to be looking at chapter 11, verse 9, all the way through chapter 12, verse 7. In the first two verses in chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, Solomon makes this plea right up front: enjoy life today. And then in chapter 12, those first seven verses, he gives us two reasons why we should enjoy life today, why happiness should be our companion on life's bumpy road. So first, we're going to unpack verses 9 and 10 and see what he means to enjoy life today. You can follow along on the screen as I read. Be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart in whatever your eye sees. But know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Better translation, fleeting. I want us to squeeze three things out of those verses we just read. I want us to notice, first of all, that happiness is a choice. I say this because it opens with the words, be happy. NASB translates it, rejoice. Solomon is calling us to do something. He's calling us to take action, not just to sit around and hope for something to happen to us. Happiness, he's saying, it's a pursuit, not a wish. It's more like a fight to be waged than a feeling to be awaited. I saw a video, I think it was on television, a guy was sitting in a boat in a lake. Then all of a sudden, a fish jumps out of the water into his boat. That's how we view happiness. We wait for it to happen to us. We think somehow it'll just jump out into our lives. But it doesn't. Solomon calls us to bait a hook and drop a line and get fishing. It's easy, it's natural to let life's anxiety and trouble cause us to be gloomy. It takes effort to be happy. Happiness begins with a choice. That's the first thing I want us to squeeze out of those verses. Here's the second. We're to choose freely. Choose freely. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eye sees. Solomon tells us to choose whatever we like. If you want to ride a horse, ride a horse. If you want to walk your dog, take him for a walk. If you want a peach or a plum or a cantaloupe or a grape, your choice, coffee or tea, you make the call. Exercise if you want. Eat outside. Play your guitar. Tickle your wife. Choose freely from the gifts of God that are at your disposal. Now, personally, I'm not able to sail a yacht across the Atlantic. But I can paddle an inflatable alligator across my pool. From puppies to picnics, if it brings you joy and it's at your disposal, feel free to do it. Happiness is a choice. We're to choose freely. And here's the third thing. The third thing is a qualification. We are to choose freely between the lines. He says, but know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. Solomon calls us to choose freely within the moral boundaries that God has put in place. From the beginning, this is how man has related to God. When Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, there were all kinds of trees for them to enjoy. In Genesis 2, we read, trees that were good for food and pleasing to the eye. And God told them, and I'm quoting, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's freedom within boundaries. God has moral boundaries for his children. They're like fence posts planted in a yard. There's the fence post of honesty, the fence post of generosity toward those in need, fence post of compassion, sexual purity, integrity, patience, humility, productivity, and more. It's within those God-given parameters that we are free to choose. That means if you choose freely to enjoy a round of golf with your friends, you don't call in sick to get the afternoon off. Or if you choose to freely enjoy some Bluebell chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, you don't eat the whole bucket. If you choose to chat with a friend, you don't gossip. Sex, physical intimacy, is designed to be enjoyed, but within the boundaries of your own spouse. Enjoy life today, meaning freely choose within the lines. That's what Solomon is calling us to do. That's how he wants us to live. And that brings us to the logical question. Why? Why should we enjoy life today? Why does Solomon in this passage, and by the way, five other passages in this short book, why does he hammer us to live happy? What's the big deal? Why put effort into living happy? Why not say, I'll enjoy my life when I'm 48 or maybe when I'm 100? In chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, Solomon gives us two reasons to enjoy life today. The first one is obvious. The second is more subtle, but profound. Reason number one, we should enjoy life today because tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be too late. This idea is driven home by some colorful verses, colorful descriptions of what happens to us as we grow older. As we age, it may become more difficult to enjoy life. Now, it's true, there are some great advantages to growing older. Wisdom, for instance. If you need counsel, I doubt you find a junior high boy and ask for wisdom. Rather, you go to an old sage. Another advantage, deep relationships. As the decades go on, friendships just deepen. It's just beautiful. I was reminded of another advantage of old age. I went to IHOP with my brother about a year ago. And we were going to have breakfast. I was looking over the menu, and the waitress came up and said, sir, you might want to look on the back of the menu. There's a senior menu on the back. I said, are you talking to me? But after I got over the insult, I realized, hey, I can save a couple of bucks. That's an advantage. But while it is true that there are advantages of growing older, there are some losses that occur. As we age, some of the capacities that we have when we're younger to enjoy life may diminish. What we can enjoy today may become difficult or impossible tomorrow. So let's walk through verses 1 through 7 and see the effects of growing older. See how they rob us of the ability to enjoy life. I'll just comment on a few of them, and I'll ask the guys just to kind of follow with me on the screen. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark. This isn't the sun growing dark. This is our eyes growing dim. We won't be able to see the sun and the moon and the stars as clearly as we do today. That means a day is coming when we won't be able to see clearly the faces of our loved ones. Better look at them today. There's a day coming when we may not be able to see the sunset or a hummingbird or be able to read a book to our grandchild. Don't wait. Don't wait. He goes on. And the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. What's that about? Keepers of the house trembling. It's likely a reference to our arms and our hands. They just begin to shake. Our legs, the strong men, become weak. As a boy, I grew up in a two-story house, and I made it my mission to see how I could get from upstairs to downstairs with touching very little of the steps, very few. I almost could fly down those steps. I couldn't do that today. If you want to play ping pong with your son, or you want to go camping or take a hike, don't wait. If you want to play the piano, thread a needle, do it now. He goes on, when the grinders cease because they are few, what's that about? He's saying our teeth are going to fall out. Our grinders are going to be few. Guys, if you want some corn on the cob or a saltwater taffy, or you, for whatever reason, want to eat a jawbreaker, you better stop on the way home. He goes on, when the doors to the street are closed, likely a reference to our hearing. We can't quite hear what's going on out there. Many old folks lose their hearing. My neighbor across the street is old and deaf, and it is very difficult to converse back and forth. The message is to enjoy those quiet conversations today while we can. Appreciate them now. Is there a music you would like to enjoy? Or do you long to hear the waves on the seashore and the seagulls at the beach? Don't wait until it's too late. And it goes on. When men rise up at the sound of birds, it's insomnia. Just the slightest noise wakes us up. But their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and dangers in the streets, they're afraid of falling, don't want to go outside. And then when the almond tree blossoms, what's that about? It's your hair. Just looking in the mirror one day, poof, it's white. Then the grasshopper drags himself along. You can picture a grasshopper with those crooked hind legs. Our limbs become crippled, and desire is no longer stirred. That's the loss of sexual desire. It's gone. And then death. Then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about in the street. And he further describes death in the next few verses. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well. And the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Old age is a thief We've been reminded of that just this morning with our brother Richard East. Old age is a clever, unrelenting, efficient thief, ever so slowly stealing from us the ability to enjoy life fully. That's what tomorrow brings. Enjoy life today. One of my very favorite memories as a child is swimming. Swimming with my dad in Ocean City, New Jersey. I'd climb onto his back. He's just a little guy. Some of you met him. He was here a few weeks ago. But I'd climb on his back, which seemed so broad at the time, and we'd get into the waves, and he would power us through the surf. My dad's 88 now. We can't do that anymore. But I bet he's glad he did it then. I know I am. Dads, if your 10-year-old boy says, "Hey, will you get your ball glove and let's have a catch?" Don't say, "Tomorrow." Or if your little family's wrapping things up on Saturday afternoon, the chores are done, things are winding down, throw them in the car and take them to Brahms. Don't say, "Next Saturday." Moms, if your grown daughter calls you on the phone and says, "Hey, Mom, I'd like to take you out to lunch and maybe do a little shopping together." The answer, yes. Husbands and wives, do you long for a few days alone together? Don't wait till you retire. Tomorrow may be too late. That's the first reason we should enjoy life today. Here's the second. We should enjoy life today because when we do, we glorify God, our Creator. That reason is based on verse 1, a little phrase in chapter 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator. This whole unit is premised on the goodness of God's creation. That word creator launches us back to Genesis chapter 1, where God created this wonderful world. In this world that God created, we find infinite numbers of colors, countless varieties of plants and animals, all sorts of sounds and smells, virtually unlimited varieties of foods with different tastes and textures. We have oceans and rivers and mountains and valleys and stars and flowers and gemstones and prairies. God did not create a utilitarian world, a merely practical, functional world, a world with no frills where everybody eats oatmeal all the time, or everything's in black and white and it's flat, and where birds don't sing. He went nuts. He went over the top. And he says in Genesis 1, God saw all he had made, and it was very good. And then he created us and placed us into that world. And we have an amazing capacity to enjoy that wonderful world. We have eyes that can see those infinite colors. We have ears that can hear the myriad sounds. We have tongues that can enjoy all those varieties of foods with the tastes and textures. We have minds to create, explore, speak, write, sing, to interact with each other. We are perfectly designed by God to enjoy His wonderful world. We're like toast in a toaster, a perfect fit. God's wonderful creation is an expression of His character, of His power, of His beauty. A blazing sunset screams the majesty of God. A tiny flower, His beauty. An aardvark or an anteater speaks of His sense of humor. As we enjoy His gifts, recognizing Him as the source, we are in essence enjoying Him. All of His good gifts are like rungs on a ladder that draw us to him. A warm fire, that's a rung, a close friendship, a grapefruit, an interesting hobby, the sound of the rain, a church picnic, a family dinner, laughter, pets, sports. When we enjoy these things within his moral boundaries, recognizing with gratitude that they come from him, then we bring him glory. Our middle daughter, Kelly, as a tiny girl, loved to rock. We would take her to church, and she'd make a beeline to the rocking horse in the nursery and hop on and go to town. If there was another child on that rocking horse when we showed up, woe to that child. For Christmas of 1983, I decided I'd build Kelly a wooden rocking horse of her own. I'd brought some lumber from Pennsylvania when we moved to Dallas. I'd brought some lumber with me. It was yellow oak. It was about 1¾ inches thick. They were old stair treads. I knew that one of these days, I'd put that to good use. I had a crummy workshop in the house we lived in. It was awful, and the project was very, very difficult. Christmas approached, but finally on Christmas Eve, I finished. I managed to get the first coat of polyurethane on Christmas Eve night, knowing it would be dry just in time for Christmas morning. I couldn't wait to give her that horse. You know what I wanted? You know what I really wanted? I wanted to hear her squeal with joy, mount that little horse, go back and forth for all she was worth. And on Christmas morning, that's exactly what she did. That little girl made me so happy. Never crossed my mind, hey, she's enjoying that horse more than me. That's nonsense. That horse was me. All my heart, all my soul, all my love for her, all my skill was in that little wooden horse. And for her to enjoy that horse, knowing it came from her daddy that loved her so much, was all I wanted. I was deeply pleased to see Kelly enjoy that little wooden horse. And so it is with God. As we enjoy our lives and the gifts that he has given us, we bring him glory. My friends, enjoy life today, because tomorrow might be too late, and because we bring glory to God, our Creator, when we do. I have a friend. He's in his late 80s, and he has walked with God for decades. And he's a man who's well acquainted with the troubles of life. He has a bad back. His hearing is impaired. He has surgery as the implants. He lost a grown daughter to disease, a daughter he loved dearly. His wife has Alzheimer's, profound. Last time I visited them, she was in a bed and could barely speak. But I've got to say, a happier man I have never met. He needed to sell his home to move to a facility where he could better care for his wife. A year ago, last February, he employed me to do some carpentry work on a barn in his backyard to get his place ready to sell. Worked on the project in the morning. About lunchtime, I needed to run to Home Depot to get some supplies. When I returned, my friend taught me something that I doubt I'll ever forget. Now, he doesn't know what I'm about to tell you. When I rounded the corner, came back from Home Depot into his backyard, I saw him there, but he didn't see me. And I paused, and I observed. It was a pretty day. It was cool. It was February. The sky was blue, the sun was warm. And I think when I was gone to Home Depot, he had grabbed the moment. He got in a stool, a four-legged wooden stool, and he positioned it in the backyard in a sunny patch. And then he'd gotten himself an apple from the house. And when I saw him sitting on that stool, his head slightly cocked upward to the sunshine, his eyes half open, and he was eating that apple. Now, someone might say, see, what's the big deal about an old man crunching on an apple? But that's not what I saw. I saw a beautiful old saint savoring God's good gifts, the sunshine, the blue sky, and a piece of fruit to the glory of God, his creator. He taught me how to eat an apple. No, more accurately, he taught me how to live. To seize those precious gifts from God while we can and enjoy them to the fullest. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us to live lives like this that bring you glory for your sake. Amen.